Homemaker Chic, we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind. It's a bit of a grind.
It's a grind.
Right now, we're all at home. We're grinding in our red lips.
Yes.
And not in our jumpers. I am your host, Angela Reed of Parisian Farm Girl, and I'm here with fellow grinder, Shay Elliott.
This got mildly Elliott inappropriate Homestead. Already, and we're only like 30 seconds in.
It is Freestyle Thursday.
Yeah, baby. So. And today's episode is brought to you by one of my very favorite companies in the entire world, Jovial Foods. Now, for those of you who have followed me on my blog or Instagram or anywhere else on the internet that I am, you guys know how much I love Carla and I love Jovial Foods.
You can follow the breadcrumbs,
honestly,
to Shay on the internet.
Literally, follow the breadcrumbs. They grow my most favorite flour in the entire world, einkorn. So einkorn is this really cool wheat, never been hybridized. So the gluten proteins in it are a lot different. People that have problems digesting gluten can digest einkorn because it has these really weak gluten proteins. So your body just can digest them super easily. Modern wheat is not that. And on top of this, einkorn tastes so buttery and so delicious. This is what I use to bake all the cupcakes, all the breads, all the sourdoughs. I made these yummy little like hand pies the other day filled with jam. Totally decadent. So we are very excited to welcome Jovial Foods on as a sponsor of Homemaker Chic. Be sure to check them out at jovialfoods.com.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. Yum. It is buttery. That's what my girls always say. They say it looks so yellow and creamy and it's soft.
And it spoils your taste for almost any other wheat because it's so rich. It's flavorful.
It does. I made bagels the other day, like a Panera cinnamon knockoff bagel with my einkorn sourdough. And they have taste. They don't taste like cardboard. Yep. It's just so good. Mm-hmm. So another sponsor for today's show, you know how I feel about them, American Blossom Linens.
Yes.
Ladies, sustainable, ethical,
organic,
decadent, luxurious bedding. I am so stinking, so freaking obsessed with my sheets. I can't handle it.
Yep.
They are chemical-free, pure softness, female company here in America, Texas organic cotton. We're not talking about cotton that's being imported, you know, on the big ships coming in from China, coming in from India. This is responsibly crafted by a family here in the United States for the last 115 years. Mm-hmm. This is super so excited. So grab a pen and write this down. Homemaker Chic 20. Because I don't have to be the only person sleeping fabulously. That is your coupon code for 20% off your American Blossom Linens. Homemaker Chic 20, AmericanBlossomLinens.com. Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. Yes, we love you.
We do. And I will tell you, I got into my bed last night and I had just washed my sheets from American Blossom and put them on. And first, the look of them is so beautiful because they really, I got like the natural ones.
Perfection.
Okay. So they're like,
I did.
They look like, they look like they belong in an old estate home. You're right. Mm-hmm. But like I paired that with the white duvet and it's just heavenly. So welcome after being bent over in the garden, slaving away all day, like an old lady with sore joints.
Now you get to sleep in vintagey, fabulous,
luxury.
Oh gosh, they're so wonderful. My daughters are begging for a set.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
They're fantastic.
We have awesome sponsors. So we love you guys.
And we love our listeners because American Blossom has seen you reaching out to them for your sheets. So that makes me so excited.
Yes.
You know, Shay and I, we are very proactive. Excuse me. We are very proactive ladies. And so to see you go into your computer and getting your sheets just within the first week or two of them advertising with us makes me so proud.
Yes. So. You guys are awesome. Well, I hope on this Freestyle Thursday that our podcast finds you somewhere comfortable. Maybe you've put in a hard day and you're ready to slip on your sweatpants, assuming you've changed out of them at some point today, and have yourself something delicious to sip, be it tea, espresso, depending on what time of day you're listening to this. What are you sipping, Ange?
I just have a glass of red wine. I just picked some up on the way home. It's a Bordeaux, Quelle Surprise. Quelle Surprise. Next time we talk, maybe I have to confess, I let my kombucha SCOBY go a little gnarly last year. I fell off the kombucha wagon and I'm back on it. So maybe that's what I'll be sipping next week when it's done, because my kids are not going to let up until there's just bottles of it going. Yes. They call it home okay. pop. And
yeah. Will you, hey, will you stop coughing and send me a SCOBY, a kombucha SCOBY?
Yeah.
Because I let mine go as well. I kind of got on this water kefir kick. Have you ever done water kefir?
Yes. Okay. No, not water kefir. No.
Okay. What I like about water kefir is like, it's these grains, right? So they look like milk kefir grains, but they're just the grains that you put it into sweet water. So I use like Rapadura dehydrated whole cane sugar. None of that white sugar stuff. Okay.
No.
You ferment it in the water.
Okay.
And then you add in, I have whatever juice or just fresh berries. So like I have a bunch of frozen blueberries from last year. Or you could, you know, add in grapefruit juice or apple juice or just raspberries or whatever you have. Let it ferment for a little bit longer and then bottle it. And it's like homemade pop, essentially.
Oh.
I mean, the kids have to get, if they're used to drinking Dr. Pepper, it's going to be a little bit of a little bit of an adjustment, but it's so good.
That sounds great. Joel loves kefir. I do kefir and, but I've never done water kefir. So that sounds, I'm a beverage person.
Yeah.
I'm all about the beverages. I love food, but I could just drink beverages.
Yeah.
I love beverages. They make me so happy. And so there's another one I need to try. But yeah, we're like kombucha people. So, and this this source of where I get my SCOBY, like, it's good. I was handing them out left and right. She was like,
that's right. Darla still has hers. All
of, it's like Darla still has
6
hers.
6 inches thick.
It's like a big uterus, like a big placenta. Delicious.
One of the things I don't love about making kombucha, and I love kombucha. It's kombucha, not kombucha.
Kombucha. I said kombucha, Midwestern didn't
friend.
I?
No, you call it kombucha.
What did I say?
You say kombucha. That's what you call it. Which is fine.
Let's call the whole thing off, Shay.
Let's call the whole thing off. What I don't like about it is that I have to buy tea to make it. I don't have tea sitting around. And a lot of times it's hard to get good tea. You know, like the Lipton tea bag garbage.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really feel lovely about using that in my kombucha.
No, it's so, when you can get it for like $1, $2.
Yeah.
It's scary, you know?
Quality,
I like to do really
so
good
high.
Quality oolong for my kombucha.
Okay.
What about you?
Well said. Okay. Yes, well said. I need to revive that one a bit. I just got off the wagon.
Yeah.
It happens slowly. You just fall off the rails.
Well, it's just, you know, it is like you're part of your kitchen routine. So you've got all the little things you do in your kitchen to keep it humming. And, you know, you go on vacation or you have a bad week or it gets too hot or fruit flies come or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Our big thing this year, actually, after we went to Jovial's Getaway last October in Italy, I just came back and I was like, this is going to be the year of bread for me. Like I'm going to get good at this. I told myself, like, this is what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to get so consistent with sourdough because I'd had really good loaves in the past, really bad loaves in the past, trying this flour, trying that flour, trying this starter, yada, yada. And I just was like, I need to concentrate. I need to focus on one thing and getting really good at that one thing. And, you know, I think we've made a ton of progress. Of course, there's always room for improvement. In the kitchen, you are always a student. But now that that's so much more second hat than it used to be, I feel like, okay, I'm ready to open my wings to some other extensions. So we actually just got this yogurt starter that I'm really excited about called Villi, V-I-I-L-I. I call it Villi. That's the American pronunciation of a Scandinavian word. I have no idea if that's correct. But it cultures at room temperature and you can use raw milk to make it. So, you know, we're milking our milk cow. She's not in milk right now, but 9 months out of the year, we milk her. And I hate pasteurizing that to make yogurt. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, that's not why we're doing this. So, and I know there's, you know, that's another rabbit trail about pasteurizing versus raw, but I like our milk raw. And this yogurt, it's really cool because you can just have a tablespoon of it, you know, fill a quart jar with milk, add in the tablespoon, let it sit at room temperature, and it's ready to go in like 12 hours.
That makes me really happy.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing about it, though. It's a Scandinavian style of yogurt, which is different than like a Greek style of yogurt. So it's
okay.
A little thinner. And mm-hmm. it has the viscosity. I don't quite know how to describe this, but it's almost like you added cornstarch in a way to milk. It's like just stringy is the best word I can use to describe it, but it's not stringy. It's just, I don't have the adjectives.
Hmm. Okay.
But again, my kids had to just be like, okay, this is different than the yogurt we've been eating. And then, you know, two or three times in, they're like, okay, this is fine. Is add a little maple syrup, you know, some toasted nuts or a little granola or whatever. Call it good. So fun. It's a great one.
Yeah, that sounds really great. Mm-hmm. When are you going to be in milk again, my dear?
The end of June, hopefully. She is so pregnant. She's so pregnant. What?
I said twinsies.
Do tell.
Mm-hmm. Have a little new family member coming tomorrow.
Oh! Don't be so sly about it, you little fox. Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm blushing. Look at my face.
I know.
I'm blushing. I am.
She is pregnant.
I'm so excited.
With a cow.
A cow.
Woo! This has been
a long time
coming.
This has been such a long time coming. I've wanted a cow for 8 years. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how long I've wanted a cow for. So I'm pretty giddy. I'm such a noob cow virgin. It's not even funny. I'm just like, okay, you can do this. It's just four times bigger than your ram, or, you know, like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to imagine like how big she is. And mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
Gosh, I wish I could be there with you to, like,
I know,
help you through the first little bit.
I know. So she's coming tomorrow and she's due in June. So
yes, that's exciting. Cool. But she's not a heifer. Mm-hmm. This is an experience.
She's not a heifer.
Cow.
She's 8 years old.
Yes.
Yep. She's eight.
So she knows what's up. She knows what she's doing.
She knows what's up. Mm-hmm. She was just dried off a few weeks ago. And yeah. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
They sent
a
picture of the udder. And I'm like, that's as big as my torso.
Yeah. Yeah.
Substantial.
Your hands will never be the same. Ever.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Anything has got to be easier than milking a Nigerian dwarf goat.
Well, yeah, you get to use beyond your fingertips when you're milking a cow.
Yeah. It's like that scene in Meet the Parents where he's milking the cat. day by day.
Look what just found its way into my office.
What is it?
It's a gin and juice, ladies and gentlemen.
That looks like a little gin and juice.
This is my favorite Scottish gin. So good.
What type of juice? Grapefruit?
It's just half a squeezed grapefruit.
What is that?
Half a squeezed grapefruit. Mm. That's it. It's just gin, ice, grapefruit. And it's my favorite cocktail in the world.
That looks really yummy.
It's really refreshing after a day. You're probably going to need one of these after you get up underneath that flank for the first time and try and get your dexterity of milk squeeze, you know, just like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited for you.
I'm not worried about that part. I want her to love me.
Yes.
In all my vanity, I want her to love me. I'm going to take a chair. For that.
I have two tricks okay, for that.
Tell me.
Okay.
Tell me.
One is give her all the treats. So like sometimes feed stores will sell like little alfalfa pellets, mm-hmm. you know, and they're just like little dehydrated little cubes of alfalfa. Those work really right. well for treats. We use those like when we've had bulls come to visit. They had been trained to those. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like even today I went and got some alfalfa out of our field. We're not turning them out yet because the fields are just a little bit too wet. So we, I gathered some alfalfa and took it to Cece. And I called her over to me and just, you know, hand mm-hmm. fed her these little treats or, you know, they love like carrot tops or mm-hmm. lettuce or whatever you have to share from your garden. Treats are number one. And number two is like grooming. That is love for them. And I didn't believe this until I had a cow that didn't love me. And somebody told me, like, you need to shower her with grooming. And so I did. I bought a curry comb and I would just uh-huh. go out there and I'd brush all the spots where you see them like try to throw their head back and lick, you know, yeah. like their shoulder uh-huh. blades and up on their neck and their spine on the back and like brush all those spots. Just give them all the love,
okay.
all the scratches, okay. all the physical affection, and then they will love you.
I'm hoping she's not traumatized, like by the trip, by new owners.
She will be, I mean, she's
a dairy, you know, I hope she's yeah. not too
No, upset. She'll settle.
Yeah.
Just give her food. You've got food
for her?
Well,
that's what her. I said. I texted the gal I'm buying her from. I said, you know, like, what can I do? Treats? She's like, well, she's not really used to treats.
Yeah.
And all I could think of was, have you ever seen that Jack Nicholson movie? What is it called? Not Some Like It Hot, not Something's Gotta Give. Maybe it's called Something's Gotta
Give. Something's Gotta Give.
With
Diane Keaton.
No, not that one. The one gal I don't really care for. Helen Hunt. Helen
yes,
Hunt.
Yes. I loved that movie. Yes.
With the guy, the artist, yes. with the little dog.
With the little dog. Yeah.
Oh, my freaking goodness. That yeah. movie is so funny.
Yes.
And all I could think about was the bacon in the pocket.
Yes.
How Basically. He totally woos the dog over with the bacon in the pocket. And I'm mm-hmm. thinking, there's going to be a little sunshine in my pocket
yeah.
because that cow is going to love
yes.
me. I mean, I'm going to go sit on a chair and just read Outlander all day and just sing songs to her and just stay back there with her.
Well,
I'm going to wear my Claire cowl and a linen skirt.
There you go.
Just go back there and woo her.
Farm animals, not all of them, but a lot of them, they are that way. Like to them, time spent with them, being around them in close quarters with mm-hmm. them, that is relationship.
It is.
You know,
I have a goat like that. He almost died while we were in Florida. Mm-hmm. He was so depressed that we were not here. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't even get up.
Mm-hmm.
I told my farmhand, I said, I know how it goes with goats. They go really fast. It's not going to be your fault. From mm-hmm. what she was describing, I wasn't going to make her like do the whole thermometer bit, you know, how you yes. do that with an animal. But I said, he's probably going to die. I said, from what you're telling me, this is not good.
Yeah.
And she's just stuck around with him and like loved on him and hung out with him for the last 2 days before we got home. And then we got home and he just perked right up.
Yep.
So
they yep. know their people. I'm always amazed how they know their people.
Well, I am her people. She just
you
doesn't
are now
know
her
yet.
People. You are now her people. Oh, I love cows so much. Yeah. I love cows so much. They're way better than goats.
Goats.
I know.
Are. The Bible says sheep go to heaven and goats go to hell. So there is a reason.
And that was not even taken out of context.
I'm telling you what. I mean, I have a couple goats left, but at one point I had like 13 and they are just annoying. I'm sorry to all my goat people, but I love my sheep.
Maybe there are some better goats. I've never actually had goats.
There probably are. Ours are just little punks.
Yeah.
Except Valentino. He's fabulous.
My favorite part about our sheep is that before we get off the subject of farm animals.
Yeah.
My favorite part about our little herd of Katahdins is that when you call them, like we've trained them to, when we feed them, we do a certain call every day.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
now when we're moving them to different pastures or, you know, God forbid they get out and run through the orchard like hooligans, which they do all the time.
Right.
We can go out there and we can just call them. And do you call your sheep at all?
Yeah. I mean, they know their names.
How do you just call them by name?
Yeah.
And they come.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'll get like gravel and shake it around. They think it's treats, you know?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So we call ours, we say sheep, 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 sheep. Mm-hmm. And they just will like, and they flutter and they come to you and they're, it's so.
See, that's how I call pigs. Pig, 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 pig. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I call my pigs over. Yeah. So, yep.
And that's not funny. Oh my goodness.
Mike, so
okay, what
tell
did
me
tell
this.
Me? Yes.
How, if she is a, if she's part of a, you know, I've seen, I have video of her being milked. I have, she's part of a dairy operation, you know? Yes.
But she's a Jersey, correct?
She's a Jersey. Okay. Yep. Absolutely. She's beautiful. I mean, you know, beauty in the eye of the milk holder.
Oh no, Jerseys are beautiful.
She, her name is Laurel. Mm-hmm. I don't love that name.
I love that name. How, that is such a great cow name or a name in general.
I know, but I want to give her my name. Like, I want to name her. So do you think I could just like mush the two together, like say the two names for like the first few months and then drop the Laurel?
Well, what's the second name?
Fern.
Fern. She's eight. Yeah.
She's eight.
I mean,
but she's not like a family. She's part of it.
Probably.
You know, like, I mean, I wonder how cognizant she is of her name.
I think if you start doing a call with Fern right away, she'd probably be fine. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's going to be like, bah, what's happening? New place, new people, new routine. So like every time if you guys go out to see her and every time you go out to feed her, if you call her in that way and shower her with your love, I bet she'll catch on really quick.
My grandparents were dairy farmers and I have the certificate of their first registered Holstein. And my grandparents' names are Thelma and Lloyd. God bless them. Love those people so much. They are my people. And so their first cow, their first registered Holstein is, the paperwork says Thaloy, Fern, and Dean. Mm. And I'm like, well, that has to be
like
her name.
They were like Brangelina before that was even a thing.
Because I'm exactly. I am obsessed with my grandparents and I'm like, oh, Thaloy, Fern, and Dean. That is so cute.
That is a complicated
cow. I think I'm
going to
name every cow Thaloy, Fern, and Dean. Just call her Fern.
Yeah, that's probably best.
I wonder where Andine came from. I should ask him.
Or just F. You can just call her F.
Probably that would be a bad thing. Coming from me, that would probably be a bad thing.
Well, I am really excited for you. And, you know, regardless of like when you're starting your homestead or how much you're doing or how much you're not doing, like there are these milestone moments in this journey that we live, this homesteading journey. Like I remember, I'm sure you do, like the first homegrown egg, you know, the first squirt of milk in a bucket. You wore gloves? Oh my word.
I wore gloves to get my first egg.
Oh, you city slicker. I love that.
Come on. I smuggled them into my suburban garage. I was bold.
Yeah, you were. Girl had a vision. And she went
I had a vision.
It.
And the reason I have to have a cow is because since we moved up here, we used to get raw milk in back where we lived. And they don't, that's like a no-no up here. You'd think in Dairy USA, that wouldn't be so poo-pooed, but you just don't do that here. There's nobody on the lowdown. No. And I miss it.
Shame.
I miss raw milk so much. My kids were traumatized to switch to bright white. I mean, you do what you got to do, but you know.
Yeah,
so
you do.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm excited.
Yeah. You know, we should talk about that for a sec, because I get a lot of questions on the blog about how we handle our milk, having a milk cow. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that, since you're going to be going through this anyway.
Let's do.
And it's Freestyle Thursday. Mm-hmm. We can talk about whatever we want. I made a big mistake when I first started milking my first cow, because I hadn't bought a stainless steel bucket. I had bought, whatever.
Just do it.
I bought a bucket.
I done bought a bucket.
I done bought a bucket, but it wasn't,
Dear Liza.
You know, like one piece. It had seams and the seams had, you know, like glue. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? It was just like a.
Yes.
Okay.
Those like galvanized-y glue.
It was like a galvanized bucket.
Cheapies. But I'm going to pour wine while you talk.
Yeah, that's fine. But my feed store didn't have like a stainless steel bucket. So that's what I got.
Okay.
And that was not a good idea because, okay, there's two philosophies of thought on this. All right.
Okay.
I once watched this incredible documentary, and I wish I could remember the name of it, about a nun who made cheese. And she made it with raw milk in this really old traditional way where she would fill these wooden vats with her raw milk and make her cheeses. And the government came in and was like, no, you cannot do that. You have to use stainless steel buckets. You have to pasteurize your milk, on and on. Okay. So she
what is very antimicrobial? Isn't it?
Okay. Well, no, listen, it goes on. Okay. So she makes her cheese the way that they told her she had to. And they ended up having like three different battles with E. coli problems in their cheese. Okay.
Okay.
I believe it was E. coli. This was a while ago. I watched this. So she said to them, let me make it my way. And you can test it. And she was a sweet nun. She was like, I want to know what's happening because I know about cheese making. She's like 40 years in at this point. So why all of a sudden am I having problems with bacteria that I've never had problems with before? Okay.
Okay.
So they let her go back. They were doing this like test, you know, she wasn't allowed to sell the cheese, but they're going back and forth and they're playing with it. What they found out.
What country?
Not America. It wasn't
not America.
No.
I was going to say.
No, no, no.
No way.
They ended up testing her wood barrel that she used to mix her cheese in. And what they found was the wood in the barrel was alive with bacteria.
Yeah.
But it was really strong in good bacteria from the milk.
Yeah.
And so what happened was the good bacteria was so strong in that wood that it ate the bad bacteria. In a sterilized environment, there's no war going on between good and evil. So if something evil comes in, which happens, there's no good to battle it. You know, so fascinating to me. And so she was able to continue her cheese making using her wooden vats. Because
that is so cool.
It's so cool. I don't recommend milking into a wooden pail if you don't have to, unless you know what you're doing.
But there's just a lot we don't.
There's a lot we don't.
And there's a lot we've been fear mongered into
big time
being paralyzed with. Like we talked last time, I think, is when we talked about the whole canning thing, that they put the fear of God into you unless you've talked to your university extension office or, you know, whatever about.
Yeah.
It's just like, do never, ever, ever, ever try to can outside of what the great and powerful ball says you can do.
Right.
And that, you know, that does, like, I remember reading an article, you know, our friend Francesca in Italy, she wrote an article about the antimicrobial aspects of wood. And this is why the butcher can use a butcher block and
for
not
three
end up
generations.
Poisoning anyone for three generations because but then we are told, oh my gosh, like get out the Clorox. If you open a chicken from the store and it gets on your countertop, you're all going to die.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like this whole, there's just so much that there's so much knowledge that we've lost by being told X, Y, Z and never
questioning.
And I'm not saying like I'm not talking about putting your family at risk health-wise or something. I'm just talking about old ways. And we become disconnected from those old ways. And maybe there's a couple generations in between the disconnection and us.
Big time.
And so we don't even know to pursue. We don't even know how to go about pursuing the old ways or the old knowledge. But like, there's a whole lot of goodness there. There's a lifetime of discovery, don't you think?
Oh, big time. I mean, we talked on the last episode about Victorian farm and Edwardian farm and wartime farm. And we got this great email from a reader who was like, you guys have ruined the last 800 hours of my life. And
I know people are like, gee, thanks. Because now that's all I'm doing.
But I remember exactly. There's an episode where Ruth butchers a bird of some kind that the boys had shot. And she just salts her wood cutting board. And takes her a little half lemon and rubs her salt in, you know, or takes her scouring pad and rubs the salt in and then goes on her merry way. And I remember watching that as a newlywed and growing up kind of like you said, a couple generations removed from what's happening.
Right.
And just thinking, this is insane. Like, you're going to all die of E. coli poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Salmonella.
Salmonella. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it's really fascinating. And I think raw milk, unfortunately, you know, my dad taught me a few really valuable lessons. And one of them that I will never, ever, ever let leave me is follow the money. And I don't mean that in a conspiracy kind of a way. He's just always told me, when you look at a situation and you're not sure this or that, or what's, you know, what's up and what's down, follow the money. And I think the dairy industry, you know, that's why pasteurization started. Why? Because dairy farmers wanted to be able to take their milk to the big cities. Now, imagine taking milk in June, okay, from Northern England into London or somewhere geographically that makes sense.
Or somewhere.
Imagine that. You know, that's, it's not going to last that long. And by the time the consumer buys it and gets it home, it's going to be pretty off already at that point. So they just thought, well, if we kill all the bacteria in it, good, bad, anything, if we get rid of all those enzymes, all those digestive enzymes with heat, it will last for longer. Okay, so the principle in and of itself wasn't bad. It's not quite correct, though. The problem with that is your body doesn't know what to do with that. When a food is full of digestive enzymes like sourdough bread, it knows what to do. When you eat a sterile food, it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. I have a new sourdough convert, and she said, you know, I can't. She'd always say, I don't how can you eat bread the way you do? Like, don't you get bloated? Don't you gain weight? Don't you I'm like, no. And now she's, you know, rocking and rolling with her first sourdough and feeling great. Her stomach's not bothering her and she feels great. Yeah. I mean, it's,
you know, when I eat like a heavily yeasted bread, like I made a brioche the other morning for breakfast. Delicious. Has butter and eggs and bread, but it has a lot of yeast because it's a fast bread.
Yeah.
I feel terrible. It doesn't, like, it just doesn't settle well. And I think it's from years of eating sourdough where your body's like, hey, there's supposed to be some, you know, give me those enzymes back. I need some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's a completely different beast. And a lot of people that have problems digesting dairy products do really, really well with raw milk. Why? Because it's full of digestive enzymes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, it's the whole old ways really intrigues me. And I've never, I don't ever want to be like dogmatic and like discredit someone that has true allergies. But I think, I do think a lot of things come from just the over processing. Sure. I read a book or a portion of a book. I don't think I read the whole thing. Talking about just the sort of, what was it? How did they word it? I don't think synthetic estrogen, but that's what I'm going to say. The synthetic estrogen aspect of pasteurized dairy products. Maybe it was called, I think it was called the warrior diet. And it was talking, it was basically like about man boobs and soft lack of muscle tissue. And, you know, like that men were hereditarily stronger and more fit, but it was talking about the adverse effect of pasteurized dairy products on male muscle tissue, which I thought was really,
that's interesting. I want to check that
really
out.
Really interesting. Yeah, it's called the warrior diet, I think. And when did
any books on man boobs, in my opinion?
Any books on man boobs? I mean, that's hot.
How could I say no? But you know, and on that note, I was going to say in that vein, but Lord knows we say that enough.
But you say
I say that enough.
I say kombucha.
When Brandon of Farmstead Meatsmith came to teach us how to butcher pigs years ago, and he taught us how to salt cure our bacon and to have our prosciutto, you know, salt cured and hanging at room temperature for 2 years. I thought he was mad. I was like, you think raw dairy is going to kill me? That's definitely going to kill me. And then right. he explained
there's dust on that.
Yeah. yeah. Cobwebs.
right.
But then he explained to me how salt works and how water mm-hmm. is what spoils foods. Okay. Salt mm-hmm. draws water out. So all your balance, all you're trying to do is balance that level between salt and moisture, right? Because you don't want to eat a rock mm-hmm. either. And there's this magical right. balance that occurs mm-hmm. when there's not enough water to spoil the food, but there's enough to keep it moist. And like that 2-day seminar that he did at our farm blew my mind because I'm like, he kind of sets this goal for his farm, which is just a few hours away from us. He doesn't want to refrigerate any of his pork. So everything is old school cured. So either it's cured into pancetta or prosciutto or bacon, or it's made into rillette or head cheese or, you know, mm-hmm. pâtés or, what's the other one? He'll do the, you know how we make duck confit and you poach it in its mm-hmm. own fat and then pack it in lard or in its fat. He does the same thing with like pork chops. So he has got jars mm-hmm. of pork chops sitting out on his counter, you know, nestled in lard. Goodness.
And I love him. Here's He's the thing. Just so I know. Cool.
People yeah. have killed pigs for food for millennia. Okay. A long
before
time.
Refrigeration.
Way before refrigeration, way before yeah. freezers. Now, if you kill a pig, if you've ever killed a pig, you know, it's like, it is like being hit with a monsoon of food. It is the most physically exhausting work we do on the farm, butchering pigs.
It is. It will take you down.
And
I mean,
for
it's
days.
Just,
for
there's
days.
A reason it was a communal
yes.
event.
Yes. But like,
because it's so much
it's
work.
It's so much work. Yeah. But the reality is, farms would kill a pig and then they would have to know what to do with it because mm-hmm. you're surely not going to harvest a 300-pound animal and then let it go bad.
Go rancid. Yeah.
You know, yeah. it was like, this is where the salamis came from. You know, like, what can we do to this to keep it good mm-hmm. for longer? Fascinating. It's fascinating. He recommended a book to me called The Cottage Economy. And it's this old book, small. You can get it on Amazon. And it's written in this really weird dialect. I'm not even sure what it is. The person who writes it hates Irish people. So I don't know if this was like, maybe it was a British person. I don't know. Back in the day. But anyway.
It's, really?
Yeah, it's fascinating. Okay. Just sort of talking about how the home economics of food would work back in the day. Anyway, one of the things they say in that book too is talking about how like no woman worth her salt would ever make bread with water instead of milk.
With like the whey or with milk?
With milk.
Okay.
Have you ever just like substituted milk for water in your bread?
I've used whey, not straight milk. Mm. So like when I would make cheese, when would eat. I made a lot of cheese when we did get raw milk because we got it every week, gallons of it. And so I would save back the whey and sure. that's what I would use. I'd feed my chickens with it and sure. I would make bread with it.
Sure.
So,
sure. Yeah.
Huh.
Good.
Interesting.
Anyway, it is. Yeah. It's fascinating. Oh, speaking of bread. I have to, I'm sorry. Hold your,
that's
you,
okay.
you talk. I got to tell Stu to take the bread out of the oven.
Oh my gosh, that was a long time ago. I was going to say, I loved, like, we have pigs coming in June, and I'm so excited Yay. Because we haven't had any pigs on the new farm
You're
here.
You're getting it, girl. A cow,
We're
pigs,
getting it.
Come
I told you.
On.
Nothing like a pandemic to spur on yeah. that endeavor. You know, like,
warrior
yeah,
diet.
It's been a long, seriously. It's been, goodness. 2.5 years or so. I don't know. But anyways, mm-hmm. I loved seeing people's faces when they would see the bacon hanging from my kitchen ceiling.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
wait, you don't need to refrigerate that? I'm like, no, yeah. I just like reach up and I grab it and I slice off a piece. Look, if you are just like, what are these women talking about? Where are they coming from? How does this come about? Because we were not born this way.
Yes.
Both of us have like an agricultural, you know, kind of sideline. yeah.
Yeah.
What did you call that? A wild hair? What
wild
was that?
Hair. Yeah.
A wild hair. See, I got it that time.
There you go.
I'm going to drink some kombucha with my wild hair.
No.
I said
calm. kombucha.
I never correct you on your French. Your so-called French.
One time you did.
Okay.
I remember. I'm traumatized by it. It was like a long time ago. It's fine.
Okay. Your assignment this week, Shay, is to learn how to say surgeon in French.
I wish you luck.
No, I'm not going to tell you. You just got to figure it out.
I can't even handle the small stuff. All right, go on.
I don't know what I was saying. I loved the bacon hanging from the ceiling. What was I saying?
You said, listen, if you don't know what these girls are talking
about. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Right. Look, we've talked about Victorian Farm, Edwardian Farm, all the farms. Just read Laura Ingalls.
Yeah.
Like, especially for the love.
Little House in the Woods. I love that one.
Start with that one. And, you know, they're carving out a tree and they're smoking venison and using hickory chips and nobody's worried about botulism. Mm-hmm. You know, they go through, then you keep reading and then there's the long winter where they almost starve to death and they're grinding flour in a coffee mill and they're still baking mm-hmm. bread. You know, mm-hmm. Ma had a sourdough. I mean, mm-hmm. they're always talking about salt pork and I mean, just read Laura Ingalls.
Seriously.
It's such a lesson in...
What is it about like a bag of freshly ground cornmeal or something that like makes your blood flow richer? Like, what is it about like or smoked venison or, mm-hmm. you know, some like homemade herbal tea that you picked from the forest? Like, what is it?
Well, I think it's we've kind of talked about this a little bit before. I think it's just like there are certain... Some people don't care, and that's okay. Like, that's just not their thing. They don't.
Yep. Everyone has different passions.
And
we need the Thomas Kellers of the world.
And you can still even like homemaker chic and not care. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But there is a personality that has this like craving for independence and autonomy and knowledge, certain kinds of knowledge, different, you know, mm-hmm. why would the dumb episode of Victorian Farm where they block off the stream and spawn fish make me excited as my Sam Edelman navy blue patent leather loafers? I don't mm-hmm. know. It just does, mm-hmm. you know, like, mm-hmm. so.
Mm-hmm. Or just seeing the jars lined up or seeing a crop come in. I mean, Sue and I went out today.
The jars lined up are giddy.
Yeah, it is. And I'm trying to put into words how it makes me feel, but obviously I'm failing miserably, right. But I find that it's in essence, in some ways it is stripping away what can feel like excess because mm-hmm. I love my iPhone. Mm-hmm. Stu just sent me a picture of the bread. Oh,
is this the loaf?
C'est magnifique.
I need that pan.
You guys, I can't wait to share this with you. This is a cooking community recipe, so I can't share it yet.
Legit.
Angela,
send me that pan.
Look at this. You guys, what I'm looking at is this 2.5 times the normal size of sandwich loaf. It's called a Pullman loaf or a... Look it up in French real fast.
Like Pullman, like a Pullman car, like shaped like a train car?
I want to say it's called... But what does that mean in French?
Pain de lait?
What is that? What does that mean?
Milk bread.
Okay, that's what this is.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the same thing as a Pullman loaf.
But how do you spell the Pullman? Pullman?
Yes. Pullman is the name of the city I went to school in. WSU. Whoop, whoop, go Cougs.
Oh, my heaven. But that's like a Pullman car. Is it called that because it's shaped like a train car?
Yes. So this is the pan that you bake this milk bread in is called a Pullman loaf pan.
Ooh, okay. That's cool.
Now, the reason that this was like popularized in like the 40s and 50s when mm-hmm. people started to buy bagged sliced sandwich bread. And as much as we love our little homemade sandwich loaves, they're a beast to cut, especially into like even pieces. So this was designed.
All 8 slices, you mean?
Exactly. So this was designed to make a bake into a perfect square so that you could uh-huh. cut, you know, really consistent slices on the bread slicer for packaging. And so it holds, mm-hmm. you bake it with a lid on, it has a special lid that slides on. So it keeps it from rising too high, but it fills the whole square. I'm quite pleased with that.
Oh, now I'm PO'd because I saw those loaves at the, dang it, excuse me. I saw those loaves at the thrift shop.
Yeah.
With the slide across on the top. Yeah. And I didn't know that's what they were called.
Yeah. Hmm. That's pretty exciting. But
that is exciting.
I realized that I'm going to have to get into the sandwich bread business this summer for my children, because I want to garden and they want to eat. And we are butting heads about which of
those. And nary the two shall meet. Let's make a little poem and for Patreon. I want to garden and they want to eat, and nary the two shall meet.
Exactly. And I'm trying to. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Mm. So what I was saying was, I love my iPhone. I love my laptop. I love my YouTube channel. But if push comes to shove,
I'm out.
I want to know things beyond those things. Right?
Like, absolutely. Yeah.
Strip it away. You stick me in the woods in the middle of nowhere, and all I have is the clothes on my back and a pocket knife and a Pullman loaf pan. Like, I want to know how to just to be able to still be a human. And frankly, that's how most of the world still lives, if we're being honest here. Cooking over a fire, right? Or catching a fish or growing a crop. Like, so Stu and I, we were planting our purple onions today, and I told him, you know, it's funny when your hands know how to do something like this, you forget all the times that they didn't. There were plenty of years where my seedlings were like wisps of a hair. So I didn't start them early enough, and I tried to transplant them too soon, or I didn't bury them deep enough and they all shriveled and died. You know, because here's a little tip. Onions like to be planted deep if you transplant them. Plant them deeper than you think and they will be fine. Or didn't water them enough. And all these little things that you learn by failing, but then it becomes a part of your body. It becomes a dexterity, a skill that you know how to do. And it was basically just from years of failure. I love it.
Look, I have tears in my eyes. Look at my eyes. You got me choked up on the concept of failing. No, on the idea of failing, because I don't think that is something that is sought after today.
Yeah.
We don't really learn much by succeeding. You know, like, and most people don't succeed when they set out to do something. I don't think there's enough encouragement to if at first you don't succeed, try again, like I just think it's just this whole, you know, 2-day shipping concept. Well, if I can't nail it the first time, or if it doesn't come easy, if my sourdough flops on the first day or whatever it is,
or you can't milk a cow.
Potato crop.
Probably not going to be the best experience of your life milking a cow for the first time.
Probably not. And like, we have strapped animals to the ceiling so they can't squat down on us while we try to milk them. Like, I've had some pretty gnarly milking experiences. Now, nobody got hurt in that endeavor. That's something you do with a goat. You kind of strap it so it can't squat. But I do think there is such a beauty in failure. If you are willing to adopt a long-term view on what you're putting your hand to, if you're willing to let go of instant gratification, I'm going to be a, you know, we have this like rock star culture. I'm going to be a rock star at this. No, probably not. You know,
you're probably just going to be average at most of the things you do in life, and that's okay.
Yeah. And then another way of looking at it is probably because you aren't willing to give it the time that it deserves.
Right.
Most people don't nail something in the first 3 months. You know, they,
It's years.
Just like dancing. It's like, you know, you said like your hands know what to do. You know, Joel and I dance, and we've seen countless couples that they can't dance together because they're not willing to give it more than a 6-week lesson and borderline divorce. You know, like, they're just not willing to, to go there. Like, everybody, Gene Kelly, Patrick Swayze, everybody danced for the first time and looked like a total moron. That's just the way it goes. But we just have this kind of idea that whether you're a baker or you have a good figure or whatever, that you, that just came, well, it must have been easier for her than it is for me, you know, just terrible.
Not.
So, but I think I'm, there's a beauty, ladies, in failure, like, a total beauty in failure.
Seriously. I mean, it's just like we talked about in the last episode, just baby steps. Mm-hmm. Just baby steps. It's okay. Like, take one baby step. You're going to be fine. It's all going to be good. You'll get the cow milked eventually. Maybe.
Yeah. And you're really good about telling me that because I can get worked up.
She's a little hot to trot on occasion.
I'm a little hot to trot. And she will say, all you can do is the next thing. I'm like, okay.
Who is it that says all you can do is try and all you can be is wrong?
I have no idea.
I love that. I say that to myself all the time. All you can do is try. All you can be is wrong. Like, should we do this? Should we plant today? Should we, you know, try and do this? I don't know. All we can do is try.
I don't know.
Oh, yes. So what else is going on in your world besides the brand new cow in the last 5 minutes? Because we got a little, we're a little homestead hot. I don't know if you could tell on these last couple episodes, but y'all, it's spring.
We're hot for homesteading.
Come on. Like,
it's spring.
There are tulips and euphorbia and like bumblebees. And like, I am dying here. It's
or giant snowflakes like I had today.
Depressing.
Big. Depressing. My Midwestern lake effect friends. I want to hear a shout out from you on Instagram or Patreon. If you live along the Great Lakes, any one of them, the Erie Canal to Lake Superior to the big one, the lake effect snow is a force to be reckoned with. Those flakes are so ginormous. It wasn't even really that cold out today. They were just like dropping like bombs from the sky. And my hair was, I styled my hair for the one, I usually do my hair like once a week. And then the rest is just some sort of crazy maintenance. And I did my hair this morning. I was like, oh, this is fun.
Look how pretty I am. Human again.
Yep. Look how pretty. I've been in a barn and getting ready for a cow. And
Yep.
And then the snow came and it was no good. But I don't know. We're like raised beds, ponds, you name it. It's full throttle. You can't come up for air. There. Want to talk about the dust bunnies in my house?
No.
I don't know. The rolls of empty toilet paper cartons on the
above.
Don't tell me. I don't want to hear it.
Cleaner message me.
Nobody else wants to hear it either, Shane.
I know. I know that this makes me somebody to hate. Okay. I'm fully aware.
You just drink your kombucha and you just have your house cleaners.
Listen, I have vacuumed, mopped and scrubbed this house every day. I literally vacuum and mop and clean my bathroom every day because it's so bad. It's so bad. And it's all I can do to stay on top of it. My cleaner is going to come and start cleaning my house. And I am so happy I could cry because this is the time of year where I have to choose. It's not do both. It's either I'm going to go plant 1,000 onions or I'm going to make food and clean my house. And I have to choose every day. I have to choose. And today and a couple other times, I chose to go outside because it, like you said, it is, this is your balls to the wall time. If like if I don't give my onions enough chance to get established and get their roots in before it gets hot here, they're done. Like there's no crop. 1 year I planted this onion crop. It was my first big onion crop. I harvested it. Okay. Now, if you harvest a crop of onions, you need to let them cure before you put them in storage. That just means like let them sit for a couple of days and build up their skin. Okay.
The papery skin.
At the grocery store. The shade. A cool, dry, shady place. I pulled my entire crop, left them on the soil to dry in the sun, and I lost entire crop. Yes, I did.
Oh.
I lost the entire crop. It's those minute things that you forget to latch the animal pen, you know, and they strip your fruit trees or don't store the onions right and you lose 8 months worth of work. Like, it's these small things. You cannot come up for air. Because if you mess up, there ain't no crop. There's no crop. Right. You know? So, somebody wants to come and scrub my floors, by God, I'm going to let them. And I'll give them all the money to do it.
You are stimulating the economy, Shade.
Yes, I am.
That's what you're doing.
And you know what? That's what she said to me. She said, can I come and clean tomorrow? And I said, yes, you can. And she was like, thank you. We need to work.
Dang it.
And I'm like, and I want to pay you. I mean, they wear masks and gloves and they're cleaning. Yeah. Like, it's not really something I'm worried about. And
you're not making out, for crying out loud.
There's a really great meme that's like, can we land somewhere between coughing and grandma's open mouth and having a tank roll up in my front yard? I'd like to think that somebody cleaning my house is somewhere in the middle of that.
Did you see that thing I sent you this morning?
I loved it.
I'm putting that on the Patreon page.
Yes.
I think that was check it out. So on point.
It was such a great video.
I'm going to put that on there.
Yeah, it was good.
You're so true. Like, it's timing is everything. There are other things you can fudge throughout the year. Yeah. But when you're like gardening, yes. Okay. Oh, shoot. I didn't get my snapdragons in the ground. But when you're talking about a food investment, there's like a really strong like... this like kind of noble obligation set to it. And like, I've been up like early.
Yeah.
I mean, not that I'm not up early, but like working earlier, and you're just trying to get it all done because you're only one woman.
Right.
you're out there trying to do all this stuff.
And if you're talking about like storage crops, like something like cabbage or potatoes, like those are massive crops. Okay. We're not talking about Brussels sprouts.
Yeah. Right?
Like, or Swiss chard. It's like, that's nice. If it totally fails, you're going to be fine.
Or you just cut it back and it grows again.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Right?
You're going to be okay.
I did that one year. My like the hail just came and just my Swiss chard looked like Swiss cheese. And I just lopped it all off and everything was okay. Yep. But you're right. If you botch the onions or the potatoes, I don't know about you, but I use about 3 onions a day in my house.
I try to grow about 2 to 3 per day for the time between harvests. Mm-hmm. It's a lot.
And like you said, there's then you drop the ball. Last year, I put mine. What happened? I had them in wine crates. They were all dried out and papery. Mm-hmm. And I brought them in the house in wine crates. And I think we were having company. I put them in the basement out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
Gone. Forgot to braid them. Didn't they? One on top of the other.
Yep.
You know, not enough air circulation.
Yep.
Pitiful. That's pitiful. That's unacceptable.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I actually have a whole thing of stock that I let go rancid. So I'm going to go do the dishes now. Pitiful. Shame on me. Shame.
It happens because you leave it on the stove all day.
Yeah.
And then you turn it off to go to bed. And then sometimes you wake up the next day and you forget to turn it back on.
I know. Well, and I store my gigantic copper stock pot that is like 8 gallons. I store it on my stove because where else are you going to store a pot that big?
Right.
And anyway, yeah. Oh, I didn't even tell you this. I have to tell you this quick before I go.
Okay.
In this gardening and cooking dilemma that I find myself in with the children, Georgia made quesadillas for her and on Saturday. Or I don't know. Someday. She leaves the burner
Pick
on.
A day.
Okay, she leaves the burner on, and this is like, we've talked about this because it's a propane stove. It's open flame. You have to be very careful.
Isn't mine propane?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Open flame.
Flame.
Okay.
Okay. But it's like, you know, a towel gets bumped.
Oh, like you mean not like electric or something
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, okay. It's just a little scarier. Here's when me, it's, I'm like, when what's it's a the big flame, deal? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
But I had, and I don't know how this happened, but somehow when she was doing this, the... Like, it's hard to describe, but on the LaConche, there's like this little plate thing and it got bumped off the correct line that it was supposed to be on. So when
I come in and I'm like, oh my gosh,
this is still on and it's been on long enough to fill the kitchen with smoke. I shut it off, but instead of just turning off, it goes and it like starts a fire underneath the hood top. Okay. So I'm looking through the peepholes where the little knobs are and I can see a fire underneath.
Oh,
and so I panic and I'm like, Stew, like the stove's on fire. He comes running in. He's able to blow strong enough through the hole that it blows it out. But of course, as soon as it's out, I flip open the hood and it got so hot that it actually melted the wire, the ignition wire that's on the knob that she was using. And LaConche is amazing. I love this company. And I called them and I'm like, look, this happened. And they were like, we have all the parts set aside for you, free of charge. This should never have happened. We're so sorry. We're going to send a technician out. It's all going to be okay. Like, we're going to take care of you. But I almost, like, I did freak out. I mean, fire freaks me out.
Fire doesn't, fire, like, But gas.
Fire and gas. The combination.
Gas freaks
wires,
me out.
Yeah, like, you know, like all that.
You just get a wet, like, I'm real chill with a fire. I'm like, all right, give mom a wet towel, blah, blah, blah. You know, the kids are like, you don't want Joel near a fire on the stovetop. Oh, my heaven. But like, I'm just like, just put it out. Yeah. La, la, la. Yeah. Once when Aiden was like almost 3 years old, I was using the broiler and he loved the broiler. And one night he was standing in front of it and he goes, fire, fire. I'm like, comforting. Yeah, buddy, it's a fire. It's a fire, buddy. There's a fire in there. Fire. Fire. I had totally charbroiled some French bread or something like that. And like the whole thing was on fire. Like Joel like grabbed it and goes running out of the house with like these inflamed baguettes. Like, thanks, Aiden.
And on that note, yeah. Come learn from us.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, yes. All right. It's off to the kitchen for me. I hope you have a good rest of your night. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. I say ladies and gentlemen, but I'm pretty sure we have a 99.9% women.
All the ladies.
Yeah. Yes.
So what you need to do. Oh, sorry.
Go on.
Oh, I bow
will sip
to
the rest
you.
Of my gin and tonic.
You go ahead and do that. What you need to do is you need to head over to Patreon and join us as a fangirl, farm girl, because we're hanging out later this week, this weekend-ish on our live stream.
Yes.
We just kind of fly by the seat of our pants, depending on how the onion planting goes.
That's right.
That's when we're hanging out. Right. But if you want to get in on it, you got to be a fangirl. And like, Shay, I don't know about you, but my email inbox is blowing up with new Patreons. Mm-hmm. And that's
very fun.
New a patrons big, big on Patreon.
Thank you to
super
everybody
fun.
Who thank has you, supported you. Us through that. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsors, jovialfoods.com and American Blossom Linens. Use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 for 20% off your sheet purchase. You're going to want them. We love these companies so much. And we are so thankful that they're a part of Homemaker Chic.
Yes, we are.
All right. Until next time, Shay. I bid adieu to you, my good lady.
Carry on.
Cheers.
Queen of kombucha. Cheers.